Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap those hands and honor the Lord. Something else. Isn't God good? Do I have anybody that has a testimony of that God is good? And his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. We're gonna work this word today. Because the truth is, that many of us right now are on the verge of harvest. And if you don't get those eyes right, you're going to miss it. I'll do it again. Some of y'all still wiping your faces and stuff. That's fine. It's fine. It's good. I'm going to wipe and preach. It's going to be all right. I say it. Some of you are on the verge of harvest. And you're going to miss it if you don't start looking with the right set of eyes. Elder Deborah, these last 6 to 12 months have been something else. Ha! Oh, but God. And when stuff get funny style in your life, then when it get funny style, you can find yourself saying, you know what? Let me go ahead on and pull back. But that's not the time that you pull back. That's the time that you lean in. Amen. I've had a couple of days where I was like, now, Lord, now, wait a minute. Y'all act like y'all ain't never had one of them. Wait a minute. Lord, now, hold on. What's going on? But I need some of y'all to learn how to rehearse the promise. You got to rehearse the promise. Amen. Rehearse the promise. Make sure that you are saying what God said. Because some of this that we've been saying, God is like, I never said that. Oh, I'm going to say something. I was having a conversation with Chris Simon the other day. And y'all, if I get stuck, I just get stuck. I don't care. So I was having a conversation with him, Elder, and when God brings the animals to Adam, now mind you, God has man. Man stands up. He breathes into man the breath of life, right? Man becomes a living soul. Man was who he was because God was in him. Y'all with me? Now, he's in perfect harmony and perfect union with God. So there was nothing that the man was going to say that God wouldn't say. Y'all missed it. So when he brings the animals to Adam, the way that we look at those animals is we look at it like God was surprised by Adam's response. Like he brought Adam a horse, and Adam was like, a horse. He was like, that'll work. That's not the way it is at all. He brought the animal in front of Adam. And when Adam declared what it was, God's response is more of exactly. Y'all missed it. That's exactly what I would have called it. It's almost as if God was saying, everything that comes out of your mouth needs to be something I would say. Are y'all with me? So when God leaves the garden and comes back, watch it, and he says, where are you? Adam says, I was naked and I hid myself. God's response to Adam is, who? Who told you you were naked? Because that's not something that I said. And since what just came out of your mouth is the first time I've ever heard you say something that I didn't say, who have you been talking to that caused you to say something that I didn't say? It reminds me of when Paul, y'all, Jesus, said you were running well. Who hindered you? See, some of us right now, God is like, all this complaining and fussing and acting out that you doing, I wouldn't say none of that. So who have you been talking to that got you talking like that? That got you behaving like that? Because you're not acting like the one whose breath you breathe. Y'all catch this. Some of us, the reason we can't get harvest is because the harvest is prepared for people who look like him. It's a promise, and you ain't rehearsing the promise, you're rehearsing your emotions. You're rehearsing your feelings. If every time it's time to have a conversation, you busy practicing how you gonna say how you feel. It's quiet in here. I've been thinking about that a lot. Are you going, you know, the conversation comes up and I feel this and I feel this and this what about me-ism? Last time I checked, when Jesus is dying on the cross, he never said, but what about? How many things are coming out of your mouth that God would never say? How many thoughts do you have that God would never think? Here at our harvest, we're here. This moment is upon us. And as I've kept saying, we don't have a harvest problem. There's plenty. We got a labor problem. And the sad part is that God is moving all false representatives off the scene. Through exposure, downfall, he's going to purify the bride. Okay. Because he's been giving us an opportunity to have our hand at purifying it for a long time. Okay, yeah, they still didn't hear that. My parents used to leave me at home with my sister. She used to leave me at home with my sister, and my sister was 10 years older than me, so when I was 6, she was 16. And then I used to act up with my sister. And she was fond, coach, of saying, wait till daddy get home. She was fond of saying, wait till daddy get home. But I knew that she'd probably forget, and it'd be all good. Wait till daddy get home. She was fond of it. She's fond of it. But one day, I'm going to run down this aisle. One day, she didn't say, wait till daddy gets home. She sure didn't. One day, I got to acting up, and she knocked me over the couch. Lost all my breath. Just crack. She knocked me over the couch. She said, tell daddy what I did when he gets home. Right. Now here's the thing. Oh, I'm coming around the corner. We got too many jellyback preachers that's telling their congregations, wait till daddy gets home. It's okay. It's okay. Wait till daddy gets home. Wait till, listen. I need y'all right before daddy get here. So I'm at a place right now where we're going to deal with everything need to be dealt with because I ain't trying to get in trouble when daddy get home. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with everything need to be dealt with. You can't say that to me. You not God. I am not. Sure not. But I am his representative. You are correct. I am not God. Yep. Sure not, but I am his representative. I am held to the standard. Amen. And some of us are giving the Lord a very bad rep. And we are like the children of Israel, where God is like, this is your stuff. Oh, but God, that's how we do. I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to walk through it today. I just need to let y'all sit with all this stuff y'all missing. I don't know why you complaining about the stuff you walked by. Because it didn't look the way you wanted it to look. Amen. My wife, she teases me all the time because we drive by buildings. And she said, you can see a church in anything, can't you? Pretty much. And we drive by the building. I'd be like, ooh, that would make a great church. She'd be like, I don't see it. And then we drive back, somebody done made it a church. You are right. Told you. Make a great. Sometimes, now watch. You can't complain about the harvest that somebody else receives that you bypassed. When you give up on something that someone else was willing to put work on. So in Numbers, y'all got y'all Bibles? Let me go ahead and work this text. Y'all give me 30 more minutes. Just 30 more. I'm going to get it all said. Yeah, I am. Numbers 13. Lord spoke to Moses. Who's he speaking to? Verse 2. Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. Now let's skip down to verse 27. Thus they told him, said, well, we went to the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. It's the fruit. Keep going. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Keep rolling. Amalek is living in the land of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites are living in the country. The Canaanites are living by the sea, by the side of Jordan. Verse 30. Caleb quieted the people. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us. 32. So they gave out. Leave this verse up for a second. You know, all week I've been bothered by this verse. Something, it wouldn't let me loose. Deacon Devin did his good teaching on Wednesday. He did his good teaching. It is good teacher because I am not a bug. We're waiting on the shirts. But there's something that's been bothering me about this verse. I had looked over it. I know y'all never looked over nothing in the Bible, but I had missed it. They gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report. Now you just read that too fast. Go back a verse. Go to 31 again. Go to 30. Caleb quieted the people before who? Now go to 32. They gave out to the sons of Israel. Wait. So you mean to tell me we having a private meeting? And we're discussing our findings with the one that sent us. And when we don't feel like we getting no traction in the private meeting with the one who sent us, we left the meeting and went and had a public discussion with people who wasn't in the meeting about the meeting. Are y'all in the Bible? So they in a private meeting. And they're having a conversation with the one who sent them about their findings. And the meeting gets tumultuous because Caleb told everybody in the meeting to shut up. They left the meeting and told the congregation who would have done whatever they came out of the meeting with. Okay. They gave Israel a bad report. They said, the land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. That's a lie. As Dick Devin said, nobody had got swallowed up. Because as he said, if the land is swallowing up people, that would have been the first thing in the report. Moses, the land swallows people. I heard you. I listened to the whole thing. Land devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw are men of great size. Also a lie. Because we just go to 29. Go backwards. Just go back. Amalek is living in the land. That's the giant. But now we got the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Ain't none of them giants. None of them are, as Deacon Devin said, big people. I heard the whole sermon, y'all. I know they thought I was like, what is going on with this boy in this coffee shop? I was howling. Do y'all hear me? I got one set of giants, and the rest of these are normal-sized people. They normal-sized. They normal-sized folks. Now go back to 32. All the people. So first of all, you done lied and said that the land devours its inhabitants. Second of all, you done lied and said that all the people are men of great size. All right, now, when you go to lying, you are of your father, the devil. For he is the father or the progenitor of lies. So wait a minute. I gotta set my stage, y'all. Come on, give me a minute. So hold on. So you mean to tell me, Kia, that in the private meeting, the truth was coming out? But they came out of the private meeting and they lied to the people because watch this. Listen, y'all. Anytime people got to tell the story, if they can't tell the truth, you know who sent them. If they can't tell the truth, you know who sent them. Huh? Because God don't lie. Stop telling everybody you're full of the Holy Ghost, but you also full of lies. Don't be walking around telling everybody I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the precious gift, but you're full of lies. You lie about everything. If you lie about the little things, you'll lie about the big stuff too. Come on now, they didn't even have to tell this lie. This was unnecessary, but they told the lie because the only way to get people on my side is to lie to them. And if you got a lot of people to make them your friend, those ain't friends, those are fellow liars. I shouldn't have to lie to you for you to be my friend. I shouldn't have to lie to you for you to walk with me. I shouldn't have to lie to you. Come on now, because listen, I think some of it's about to get ugly in here. Listen, let me tell y'all something. If you got to put on all this extra stuff that's not you in order to impress him, he ain't for you. First date, you need to be like, look, here my real hair, my real nails. This my real hair, my real nails, my real skin complexion. This my real body. Everything is real. This everything real. Now the next date, I may snatch it in. But this date, everything's real. Because I don't want you to fall in love with the snatched version of me and mess around one day and see me unsnatched and want to leave me. Like, whoa! First date, you just look, here's everything. I'll have on a wig next time, but right now, this all you got. Everything natural. We good? And I'm about to eat with my fingers. Got me over here struggling with these chicken wings with a fork and a knife. I don't do this. But what's wrong? Elder, come on, I'm coming somewhere. What's wrong in the body of Christ is even when we come to church, I'm not sure which version of the pastor I'm getting either. Because you done perfected all of your theatrics and you've perfected all of your show and you've perfected all of your presentation, but you don't live like that. And that's why we got people led astray. Even for some of us who put on the label of Christian, come on now. Being a Christian might as well be your girl, because that ain't the truth. You got to go ahead and be honest with folks. That thing holding you all in. Done got quiet in here. They lying. Liars. And I'm mad about it because you're trying to get other people on your side. The Bible says there are six things the Lord hates. Seventh is an abomination. Huh? And you know what the seventh is? Hey, so is discord among the brethren. These are discord sowers. There comes a time where God is going to send y'all to some stuff, y'all, and it ain't going to look right. Huh? I said it ain't going to look right, but I told you, rehearse, remember, remain, refuse. That's what I said. Rehearse the promise, remember who you are and who sent you, remain in the place where God sent you, and you got to refuse to walk by sight. Just refuse. I refuse. God, if this is mine, I don't care how it looks right now. It's mine. We go head on and work it. I saw a picture the other day. They said almost all of the gold in the world has been mined from one area. And they showed a picture of it. It just looked like a hill of grass. It don't look like nothing spectacular. It just looked like a big old hill. And there's grass on the top of it and the dirt all up underneath. There's so much gold in it that the dirt is gold. Can you imagine the person who was walking on that normal grass, not thinking there was nothing in there, and one day happened to put a shovel in there and go, huh? How many things have you looked past because it didn't look valuable in its current state? But it's the last point, y'all. I got to refuse. I got to refuse to walk by sight. That's where Deacon Devin was worrying us on Wednesday. He was worrying us because he talked about the danger of attempting to labor with the wrong set of senses. I'm going to tell y'all what the young man said. I got a quote from him. It's right here. Let me tell you what the young man said. He said, when you labor with the wrong set of senses, your present problems will always be louder than your present promise. That's what the young man said. I listen, Reverend. I take notes. My pen was warm. Y'all hear me? When you labor with the wrong set of senses, your present problems will always be louder than your present promise. That's what happens when you walk in by sight. All year we've been dealing with walking by faith. All year. And we're supposed to walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Faith. And the just are supposed to live how? By faith. And without what? Without faith is what? Come on, y'all. Now, listen. The harvest the Lord sends you to is going to require the Lord to fully obtain. Yeah. I'd have never heard that. I'll say it again. Y'all's pens wasn't ready. The harvest the Lord sends you to is going to require the Lord to fully obtain it. The Bible says apart from him, you can do what? So any plan that you have in your life that you think you can accomplish without God is fool's gold. It's fool's gold. I can do this. I don't even need the Lord. I just need a few good men. Nope. Lies. That's like this verse right here. It devours the inhabitants. It does not. Okay, let's just think logically. Maybe it's just me, but let's just have a logical conversation. Class, can we have a logical conversation? If the land devours its people, this is why I would have never been in this crowd, because I would have been asking questions. If the land devours its inhabitants, how did you see inhabitants there? Because if the land devours its inhabitants, it wouldn't have been nobody there. You told me it was people there. So does the land eat them or not? You lying. Your math don't math right. Let me give you a couple of principles, and then I'll pray for you. I will. Go to verse 33. Go to one more verse. Here's our issue. There also we saw the Nephilim. That's the sons of Anak. These are more big people. We became like grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight. Now, even this don't make sense. And let me tell you why it don't make sense. Not from the perspective that sometimes we look at it, but if you became like grasshoppers and they really knew the promises of God, they wouldn't have been concerned about being a grasshopper neither. Y'all missed it. Because God uses grasshoppers as an army. So, right? So when God sends grasshoppers out, please understand, the text uses the word grasshopper, right? But the underlying Hebrew text is the word locust. Okay, the last time this group would have seen a locust, it would have been when God was sending it to Pharaoh in the plague. So if they saw the Nephilim and then they looked at themselves and said, we're locusts, they should have said, let's get it. We're about to tear stuff up. We're about to get it. But no, because watch this. When you're walking with the wrong set of senses, you can't even remember what God has done. They should have said, oh, so we about to be the plague? Y'all. You understand what I'm saying? The last time they had seen this, these are the people. They had lived through this. They should have said, oh, it's on. We about to be the plague. Huh? They mishandled. He showed them how he can clear a land. And even in their own frailty, they should have seen themselves as land clearers. But instead of seeing themselves as, watch this, if I'm a locust in the hand of God. Okay, y'all. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. If I'm a locust, I'm a locust in the hand of God. If I can't talk, Moses, I can't talk in the hand of God. If I'm too young, Jeremiah, I'm too young in the hand of God. If my family is jacked up, Isaiah, my family is jacked up, but I'm in the hand of God. Come on now, if I got a pass, Mary Magdalene, I got a pass in the hand of God. If I've been a tax collector, Matthew, I'm a tax collector in the hand of God. If I used to kill people, Paul, I used to kill people in the hand of God. And if God be for me. See, some of you are talking, selling yourself short. But watch this. I didn't come in small and I ain't gonna leave out of here small. I heard you. I ain't no bug. I'm gonna do what God told me to do. See, you gotta, you ain't nobody. Yep, but I'm nobody in the hand of God though. You can't make it. That's cool. What y'all gonna do over there at that little church? We a little church in the hand of God. We a little church in the hand of God. A little church in the hand of God. You can't do nothing over there. Your little church over there in that corner. A little church ain't doing that. A little church. You know how many times I hear a little church over there in that corner. A little church in that. It's cool. Almost broke down in tears yesterday. We had an all hands leadership meeting. It's a great meeting. But there was one moment. And this has been sitting with me all day. It was one moment. It wasn't even planned. One little moment. One small moment. It's when Rosa stood up. That little church, y'all ain't doing nothing. Little church over there, y'all ain't doing nothing. Just a few of y'all on Sunday, y'all ain't doing nothing. Rosa stood up and she said, I just want to report. That our food pantry, y'all little church, y'all ain't talking about nothing. Y'all ain't doing nothing. Y'all little crazy boy over there wearing on investments. He don't know what he's doing. And y'all doing all that stuff. I don't know what y'all done become. I want a report. That's what she said. See, these are the reports that need to get said. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ain't got no lies. Here are the reports you need to put on out there. When Rosalind said, our food pantry has helped, over 4,000 families. I ain't through. And over 10,000 individuals. That's what she said. I said, wait. You mean in all time? She said, no, this year. So wait a minute. All of this, it don't take all of that. All of this, it ain't working. You mean to tell me that the report says that over 10,000 people done got their natural food right in this place? Right down in this little church. So I'll be little in the hand of God. Because if I can feed almost 11,000 people, that's cool. That's cool. I'll be that. You do what you do. We gonna do what we do over here. Come on now. You talk, we move. You show me your faith without your works. I'll show you our faith by our works. You keep huffing, we'll keep blowing stuff down. But come on. Let me give y'all a couple, give you a couple points. I'm going to go to my seat. That's what the report said. Thousands of pounds of food. You think we're going to get sad? The devil is a liar. Not sad. Huh? All these folks on Facebook, these Facebook pastors, huh? Talking about the church ain't doing nothing. Well, I don't know what church you talking about. Church ain't doing nothing. I don't know, because we got a report. I ain't got a feeling. I got a report. Yeah. Woo! And whose report? Y'all, are you going to believe this? Let me give you these points. I'm Elder Warren, this is all your fault. Number one. It's all right. Number one. I got a few more minutes. Write this down. How we see influences how we live. How we see influences how we live. Now, we became like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. How we see influences how we live. Turn to Romans 8, please. Come on, let's let the word do this. Romans 8, it says in verse 5, for those who are, ooh, I love the way the translation does it. Those who are according to the flesh. Y'all see that? Yeah. Those who are, statement of being. those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That means you're soulish. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, look at it. It says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Leave this up. See, it's what you're looking at. See, if your mind or your focus is on fleshly matters, that's who you are. It's how you live. So you have to change your mindset. You got to change what you're looking at. Everybody is, watch this, everybody's not a giant. I heard the whole sermon. Everybody's not a giant. But watch this. Sometimes you label people as giants to justify your laziness. You label easy things as hard so that you can get away with doing nothing. You label the easy things as hard. If there's nothing impossible with the Lord, why do you keep saying it's impossible unless you're admitting you're not with the Lord? If there's nothing impossible with the Lord, why do you keep admitting that something is impossible unless you are simultaneously admitting that you are not walking with the Lord? I know why. Because we like labels without fruit. We're like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. That's right. When he walked up to that fig tree, it leaves. Because a leaf on the fig tree indicates that there should be fruit up underneath it. He said, I'm hungry. Fig tree, leaves. Let me go get a fig. He lifted up the leaf, and there was no fruit. He said, I got to curse this tree. Why would he do such a thing? Because the tree was a liar. The tree is lying. You telling me that you have something that when I check it, you ain't got it. I looked under there, and what you said you produced, you didn't produce. You're a liar. You in this thing for errors. You're a showman. Amen. Don't jerk another time if you don't believe in laying hands on the sick. Don't do another one. Keep our matrix to yourself. Sit up there jerking and high-fiving yourself and making up tongues. Keep it all to yourself. Because if you don't believe in the fruit of that leaf, verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It doesn't subject itself to the law of God. It ain't even able to do so. Verse 8, watch this. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wait a minute. Okay, wait. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those who are in the flesh can't please him. So that means I can't be in the flesh and have faith at the same time. Come on, that's just math. That's Bible math. That's just Bible math. That's just good Bible math. If watch this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that means having faith will please God. But then the Bible just told me that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That means you cannot simultaneously walk in the flesh and have faith. So if you're walking in the flesh, calling it a moment, you're also faithless. Okay. I know some of y'all do it, but that's like driving without insurance for a very, very long time. Talking about, I'm a careful driver. Ain't nothing gonna happen. I'm gonna walk in the flesh for a little minute and it's gonna be fine. He won't get me. But come on now, you need the Spirit to deal with people on your way to work. You need the Spirit to handle the phone calls at work. You need the Spirit to be able to listen to the conversation of your child when they come home and say, listen, so-and-so in my classroom just told me that they a bunny rabbit today. You need to be able to have the Spirit to navigate. I'm serious. Have y'all not paid attention to what's going on in these schools? We got kids that are identifying as animals now. Come on now. We got all kind of foolishness going on. How are you going to handle your children? You ain't going to be able to handle them in the flesh. Because, come on now, the flesh says, listen, go ahead and let them explore. No. negatory. But that's what the world says. That's what conformity to the age says. And somebody gonna get mad at me. You can get mad. I'm sticking with the Bible. I'm sticking with the Bible. Every single solitary time. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot. You cannot. So all of this, I'm gonna put my religion on the shelf. How? Huh? Because if you can take your faith out of you, do you ever have any? Ever. Now, y'all had this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Write this down while she's putting it up on the screen. Write this down. How we see influences what we accept. How we see influences what we accept. That word accept, or what we receive. I'll give it to you another way. What you perceive. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It reads like this. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness to him, he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So when you start acting biblically, when you start acting biblically and people can't receive you, they're natural. If you're behaving by the scripture, but you're not being received, they're natural. Watch this. And if you don't want to be scriptural, you're natural. And if you're natural, you cannot accept, you cannot receive, you cannot perceive the things of the Spirit of God. And I started by saying this. Everything that God sends you to is going to require him to receive it. And so God sends you to some stuff and you be like, I just can't see it. I just can't see it. That could be because you natural. I just can't see it. It just don't make no sense to me. You natural. Somebody got to make it make sense. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. So you don't have a make sensor in you? Huh? You don't have a make sensor in you? Huh? I believe Deacon Devin called it your inner Caleb. I heard you. Your inner Ot-Ot. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our inner Caleb. He's like, hey, what's wrong over here? Do what God said. Shh. Give me that noise. Shut that down. Get off the phone. Don't you text them back. Don't you get mad. Go into your room. No, go to your room. Get out. Pray. Pray. I said pray. Don't use English. Your English is foul right now. Open your Bible. Don't you open to get my enemies. Don't open to that scripture. Don't open to get my enemy scripture. Don't open there. I need you to open over there to Psalm 37. Fret not thyself. Get over there. Because of evildoers, fret. Don't you get angry. Don't you get angry. You go somewhere and chill out. Sit down. Have some ice cream. What is wrong with you? But we sit up here having tantrums over stuff God said I handled. You're having tantrums over something. God is like, I got this. What you having a tantrum? Well, because God, because I'm hurting. Well, when I was hurting, it didn't bother you. When I told you that your lack of worship hurt me, you didn't seem to care. When I told you I didn't like the way you were treating your family, you gave me an excuse. When I told you you needed to call your brother that you ain't talked to in 6 months, you told me he got to call me first. So when your actions hurt me, you want me to be patient. But every time you hurt over something you put yourself in, you want me to be Johnny on the spot. Who's God here? Huh? You want me to fix your problems tomorrow, but I've been asking you simply to lift up holy hands, and you said that ain't your style. It's not your style. You know, I'm more of an introvert. I don't really believe in worshiping like that. And, you know, I don't really get down like that. I'm more quiet. No. What you are is, watch this, afraid. You're afraid to be exposed. Because if you got mad enough, all that quiet would go away. If your team was scoring, all that quiet would go away. If your car was skidding off the road at 100 miles an hour, I bet you get loud. Come on now. You're afraid. Number three. So let me go back, because if I don't give these numbers right, Essence going to say I messed her notes up. So one, how we see influences how we live, Romans 8:5-8. Two, how we see influences what we accept, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Three, how we see influences who and or what we follow. How we see influences who and or what we follow. Lord, I'm about out of time. Numbers 14, I'm going to say it anyway. All the congregation lifted up their voices, the folk who had been lied to. So now y'all about to get strong behind the lie. They wept that night. Verse 2. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt." Leave this verse up. "Or would that we had died in this wilderness." Now this is something that I'm working with. I'm going to put it out there. I've been praying about it. Y'all pray as I pray through it. But here's my thing. When they came out of the private meeting and went to lying, what I want Moses to do is I want Moses to go out to the same people that they lied to and be like, "They are liars." But thank God for Moses. He was like, because sometimes you got to see, ooh, Elder Chantrese. Sometimes you got to see who will follow a lie without checking. Because if you'll follow the lie about me and never even come talk to me, that tells me something about how you felt about me the whole time. I think I just helped a half dozen people at least. These folks running with a lie. Nobody went and said nothing to Moses. They grumbling, like, "Take us back to Egypt." Verse 3, watch this. "Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?" We ain't said nothing about no swords. I ain't seen a sword yet. I done seen grapes, big people, and regular people. We ain't seen no swords. We're just making up more and more stuff. "Our wives, our little ones will become plunder." Who said? God said it was our land already. "Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" Egypt means bondage. Wouldn't it be better for us to just be bound? Wouldn't it be better for me to just keep on dealing with the same drama? Wouldn't it be better for me not to be free? Verse 4. Watch this. Listen to this. "So they said to one another," this right here. There's so much I want to say about this verse. "So they said to one another," oh, I'm going to be good. "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Why in the world do y'all even want a leader that's taking y'all back there? He's afflicting. Pharaoh was afflicting them with hard labor and killing the mothers and the children on the stool while they gave birth. And y'all like, "That sounds really great. Let's find somebody who's just as broken as us to lead us. Let's find somebody who has no backbone to lead us. Let's overthrow our leader and replace them with a fellow follower that we call the leader. Because if we can put them in place. See, here's the... They didn't put Moses in place. God did. And when things got difficult, they said, give us somebody that we can control. Let me say this. When we start walking by faith and refuse to walk by sight, we just refuse. Somebody say, I refuse. It changes what you're influenced by. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be through. I need us all to make a decision that we're going to daily live under the influence of the Spirit. Y'all missed it. Daily live like I'm under the influence. Yeah. I'm like you ain't acting right, right? You ain't acting right. These men are not drunk as you suppose. They under the influence. It's just not an influence that you're familiar with. Huh? I need us to daily live under the influence. And when you live under the influence, watch this, I only accept what happens under the influence. I'm not accepting anything else. God, if this ain't you, I don't accept it. If this is not your power, I do not accept it. God, if you don't want me to go there, I'm not going. But if you want me to go, I don't care what it looks like. God, if you want me to preach there, I'll preach there. But God, if you don't want me to preach there, I don't care how much they offer me. God, if you want me to go over there and lay hands on them, I don't care what the doctor said. But God, I don't even care if they got a common cold. If you tell me not to touch them, I refuse. See, this is what happens when you're under the influence. When you're under the influence, everybody can call you crazy, but you're under the influence. When you're under the influence, everybody can say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. But the thing is, I'm under the influence. And I only hang around people who are under the influence. And I only listen to leaders who are under the influence. And I only walk on the road where I can feel the influence. And I only do things that are imposed on me by the influence. And if you ain't trying to be under the influence, you can't be around me, because we're in a season where everybody's going to feel uncomfortable if they're not trying to be under the influence. It don't take all that influence stuff. Who? You numbed yourself with everything else. You numbed yourself with every other substance. I got something. Oh, I can introduce you to somebody, that can make everything all right. I can introduce y'all to somebody who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I can. But you gotta be willing to trade in all your other influencers. God says, hold on. I can't influence you when you're using me as a part-time influencer. I'm not your part-time influencer. Some of y'all trying to take a puff of God when it gets bad. Ooh, having a hard day. Let me get a hit of Jesus. God is like, I'm not that. I won't get you selectively high. But if you want to stay under the influence, come to the fountain. Get under this fountain. You can stay under the influence, but if you want to keep double dutching with Jesus, that's not going to work. We're at a place. It's not going to look like y'all think it's going to look. I promise y'all it's not going to look the way y'all think it's going to look. We're right there. This fourth quarter of the year is transformational. You You can walk in it or you can blow it. I speak by the Spirit. I hope somebody hearing me. We're in a transformational quarter. Either everything's going to change for the better or everything's about to change for the worse, but everything's going to change. The pivot is in your hand. He's like, you choose. If God be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Choose. Just make a choice. Go ahead, go with Baal. Lots of prophets. Baal got lots of prophets. They have good church. It's real loud. It's real loud. Sure, they got praise teams and organs and drums, all of that. They just have no power. Everybody, just lift your hands for a second. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to give. Hands lifted. Now, for those of you who by the Spirit just believe that the pivot is upon you, Father, in the name of Jesus, these hands are lifted in surrender, but also in reception. We receive. Forgive us for walking with the wrong set of senses. Forgive us for seeing wrong. Forgive us for walking by our emotions. Forgive us, God, for trying to overthrow those who you send anointed to help us. Lord, as we walk this out, help us to walk it out by your Spirit. Today, Lord, I pray for anybody that's not saved. God, if they're far from you, they're not where they need to be. Allow them, God, to make a decision today to yield to your Spirit. I thank you in advance for decisions. In the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.